It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Vary Show is on the air.
Ah, yes. It's Friday. It's the Father's Day edition. It's a good day.
When Jesus
walked,
oh, when he
walked,
when Jesus
walked,
he washed my sins away.
Oh, happy day.
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 When Jesus
walked,
oh, when he
walked,
when Jesus
walked,
he washed my sins away,
Lord.
Oh, it's a happy day.
This Sunday, we mark Father's Day. And I truly, deeply believe that most of the problems in this country relate to fathers not being dads, men not handling their responsibility in the home. In many cases, it means never being there when the child is born, and in many cases, it means not being the father a child needs, even if they are present. It creates a number of problems, and it gets too little attention. But I do think that there is hope. I do think there's an opportunity to do better, and I think every one of us can be a better father, and that it's worth it. It makes a difference. And so that's why we devote a show to it every year. And we do that today. My trainer and I are doing our workouts over FaceTime. And this morning he said, "You doing Father's Day today?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I always look forward to that. It takes me back to a lot of memories for myself and hearing other people's stories." I said, "Well, tell me one of yours." He said, "Well," so he played football. He went to UT, played football. And he said, "I'd gotten injured. Got in a real bad concussion. It knocked me out. And they had me in the hospital, and they were going to keep me for at least one night for observation, and they were worried." And this was the early days of concussion. He's my age. And this was the early days of concussions. They didn't know, you know, what would happen. And so they told my dad, "Mr. Petru, you know, you can head on home. We'll keep you informed." And he said, "No, I'm not leaving my son's side." So every 2 hours, they would wake him up to do brain monitoring and check his senses and all these things. And he said, through the course of the night, never once did they wake me up that he wasn't right there, letting me know he was right there. He said, that's what being a dad means to me. And now he's a dad to Elle, his daughter, who's headed off to A&M in the fall. Grounded, based, solid, value-driven young lady with a purpose in life. You pass that down. You pass down these traits, these patterns, these values, these habits, these principles as a parent. You can break the cycle. You can. You can break the cycle if you weren't lucky enough to have a dad that you could look to for direction like I was and like my trainer Michael Petru was. But you can start today. One of the things I hear so much is, well, I'd like to be a good dad to my kids, but my ex is so awful. You've got to figure out a way to get there. You've got to figure out a way to make it happen, because those kids don't realize all that. Those kids still need a dad, even if their mom is being a bitch to you. Those kids still need you there. And that might mean patience. It might mean swallowing your pride. It might mean going a little further. It might mean a reduced role than you would like. But it's got to happen. No excuses. No excuses. 713-212-5874. 713-212-5874. I'm going to play you in the next segment. A dad happens to be black. He's a doctor. And he's criticizing at the school board critical race theory and saying, look at how I succeeded. I don't want my children to think that they're losers and they need, you know, special protections. That's a dad showing his love. And I'll play you that, but I'd like you to share an example of your dad showing his love for you that you remember to this day. 713-212-5874. And to get us started, as we always do, courtesy of executive producer Chad Okoni Nakanishi, your Week in Review. On the same bill for Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, and Anthrax. Now, I might lose some of my street cred with a good deal of our audience, but I don't really think I would be interested in that show. Too loud. Yeah, exactly. Too loud.
The president travels to Switzerland before meeting in Geneva with Russia's leader Vladimir Putin.
Most anticipated when the president meets with his Russian counterpart.
Senator Ted Cruz is our guest.
A generation from now, the next dictator of Russia will be getting billions of dollars because Joe Biden was too weak to stand up to Putin.
71% of Americans are fearful that President Biden's spending plans could lead to increased prices.
Families are paying more for everything they buy when they go to the grocery store.
Between May 2020 and May 2021, prices up 6.6%.
Get used to the word inflation. Inflation, it's back, and it's going to be the number one economic problem in this country over the next several years.
Hunter Biden is apparently an artist now. He's selling his abstract works for as much as $500,000.
He has no formal training, and he paints with a straw, yet his work has been picked up by a New York art dealer.
So who's buying this crap?
This is called money laundering. How does the Chinese government give money to the good-for-nothing son of the president? Why, you buy his art.
They gave him a list. Every reporter in the room and the ones that he's supposed to call on are circled.
I'll take your questions, and as usual, folks, they gave me a list of the people I'm going to call on. So, Jonathan, Associated Press.
Way to go, Jonathan. You were deemed safe to call on. You may now read the question we scripted for you.
Mr. Biden, what kind of ice cream did you have?
Good old Father's Day.
Dad isn't just someone who happens to be blood relative. All kinds of dads out there.
When a single mom goes out.
AM alarm clock won't stop going off. Stumble to the sink, try to think, fill the coffee pot. Coffee. Get the sleepy heads out of bed, get them fed, get them dressed, hurry up, get your stuff in the truck. Blow them both a kiss when you drop them off. Bye, kids. It feels like a month of Monday since I had a break. Sometimes I tell myself when I had all I could take. Friday's coming, and just like that it's gonna come back around. Gotta keep on running, I can't let trouble run me into the ground. I'm ready to feel that feeling, nothing to do but
start to kick back, singing, damn my torpedoes, pour a little Tito's, Friday's here again. Traffic is a mess, feel the stress in my brain, wanna flip them off, but I do my best to refrain.
It is our Father's Day edition. And being a great father and making a difference in the life of a child that carries them through adulthood means giving them a lot of love, of course, providing for their basic needs, teaching them life skills, self-respect, respect for others, respect for the opposite sex, respect for authority, when to challenge it, when to follow it. It means developing the young person into an adult across the phases. Sometimes the most important things are things that we don't think of at Father's Day. Here's an example. There is a clip, we've posted it to the blog at michaelberryshow.com, of a father who happens to be black, and he's speaking at the school board meeting because he does not want critical race theory taught at the school. Now, I know you know what critical race theory is, but for folks who don't, it is a new school of thought that says all white people are racist. They can't help it. They are racist, and they always will be. America's legacy is racist. People engage in prejudice and bias. They're not able to stop it. And that you have to take corrective measures to knock white people down and lift black people up, because otherwise black people will never succeed. It's a terrible, terrible cancer on the education community that it is sweeping through there. And this is what that black father had to say at the school board meeting.
When you talk about critical race theory, which is pretty much going to be teaching kids how to hate each other, how to dislike each other, that's pretty much what it's going to all come down to. You're going to deliberately teach kids, this white kid right here got it better than you because he white? You're going to purposely tell a white kid, oh, the black people are all down and suppressed. How do I have two medical degrees if I'm sitting here oppressed? How do I get, first of all, time up, because I only got 5 minutes now, 5 minutes. Two medical degrees, no mom, no dad in the house, worked my way through college, sat there and hustled my butt off to get through college. You going to tell me somebody that looked like all y'all white folks kept me from doing that? Are you serious? Not one white person ever came to me and said, well, son, you're never going to be able to get nowhere because you know the black people. But guess what? What's sickening about this whole thing is what y'all doing right now is already something I do in my community right now to speak out against stuff, because black folks are getting told by other black folks, oh, you know you ain't going to be able to do nothing out there in the world because them white folks ain't going to let you get nowhere. Oh, you know you're not going to be able to do it here because you know, the white man going to keep you down. Well, how did I get where I am right now if some white man kept me down? How am I now directing over folks that look just like you guys in this room right now? How? What kept me down? What oppressed me? I work for myself from off the streets to where I am right now. You gonna sit here and tell me this lie of critical race theory? Of this the reason why black folks can't get ahead because of white folks? Are you kidding me? This is what we come to now. I can't believe we're even talking about this right now. The last thing I'm gonna say right here is something that's crazy. Martin Luther King said he wanted his kids to grow up in a world where they are judged by the contents of their what?
Their character,
not their skin. If they letting this stuff go on right now, it is absolutely doing the complete reverse of what he's doing. So when February comes, don't talk about Martin Luther King. When February comes, don't talk about Black History Month. Y'all gonna sit there and just pretty much pee on his grave with this nonsense? That's exactly what's about to happen. Lastly, we are talking about our kids. We are talking about our children. What's so sickening about me, I love the Discovery Channel. You will see that on the Discovery Channel, animals will put their lives on the line to protect their children from danger. Nobody want to get to the heart of the matter, get to the meat of the matter, get to the moral of the story. It all comes down to it. The person that's going to be suffering from this, the one that's going to be hurt from this, is the kids. Yeah. 10 years from now, if this stuff goes on, whose fault is it going to be? Whose fault is it going to be? Who are we going to look back on and blame for this? Because this is stuff we're talking about right now. This stuff is going on right now. I do this stuff on a daily basis. I'm in the hood. I'm in the communities. I'm out there with folks in their face. I've been doing stuff since I was 18 years old, talking to black folks. And you know what? None of them are buying this nonsense. None of them are. But if you want to implement this into the school system, I guarantee you to the day that I die, I'm going to be the very person right there debunking stuff, tearing stuff down, letting them know they can do exactly what I did and get exactly where I am by putting themselves to work and getting there. And ain't not one white person ever going to keep any of them from getting there. So the CRT stuff, BS.
Being a good father means more than telling your child you love them. It means showing your child you love them. And many times that means taking up for them when the system is putting them down. If the school district says, write a article or write an essay about a famous historical figure you admire and your child chooses Jesus Christ, and the teacher says, no, not going to allow that, that's an opportunity to show your child that you will fight for them. That's an opportunity to show your child that your principles are something that you're willing to get to make people uncomfortable over. That's an opportunity to show your child that you're going to back them up when they take a principled stand. Sometimes being a good dad means taking the system side against your child when your child is wrong. These stories always break my heart. It's usually the mom, not the dad or the grandma. But when a guy is, they show the video footage of somebody that's committed a crime, and the grandma calls and turns them in. It's for their own good, and it's the right thing to do. Protecting a little criminal thug is not helping them in the long run, because the next crime they may not walk away from. This gives them at least one shot to fix it. But that, to me, that school board speech by that dad, that reflects to me the love for his child that you're not going to inject. You're not going to vaccinate that child with an unproven, nasty, filthy mindset that will ruin their lives. Who's our next call, Ramon? Paul, you're on the Michael Berry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was on hold here. I'm the guy that was the old radio DJ that was going to share a story about I buried my dad 2 weeks ago today at the Veterans Cemetery up in Missouri, how he helped me go from the small town to the big city in radio.
Where were you a radio DJ?
I wound up my career here in Houston at 93Q back in the 90s with QZU. I was a night DJ named Boomer.
Oh, right on. Okay. Where'd you come from?
No, nobody remembers me.
I don't remember you, but it's still, I'm sure, actually, there's probably somebody out there that does remember you. where did you come from?
Well, I'm from Southeast Missouri, and it's been a real tough time the last couple of weeks. My dad was 88. He was at the veterans home up there, and he lost about 30 of his friends to COVID. And he was just in a deep depression. And it was just, it was tough to see him just wilt down to about 120 some odd pounds. And he was a great man. He believed in his kids. And when I shared at the funeral, one of the stories, how he got me from Paducah, Kentucky to Nashville, Tennessee in one big swoop.
The Michael Berry Show continues.
Miguel Vasquez, who was 37 years old in May when he was gunned down by a 23-year-old thug in the parking lot of Dave & Buster's on I-10 just outside the Loop on the north side there. A Dave & Buster's I've taken my kids to many, many times. We've watched movies at that theater. We've been to Dave and Buster's many times. I've gone to comedy shows at the Improv right there. We've gone to that Red Robin right there. And I think, what's that? Big City Wings is right there. How did I forget that? Because you know what? I do delivery. But yeah, you're right. There is a Big City Wings right there. Good call. But I think about how that little girl, that 10-year-old girl, aside from the trauma of watching your dad murdered, because that's forever and never come back, the foreverness of that, the finality of that, is in and of itself tragic. But now everything that he was in her life is gone. The one who came to your school event, the one who bought you the special birthday present, the one who did whatever it is he did with her that was their special thing, their special TV program they watched together. Maybe they went fishing. Maybe they made tacos. Maybe they washed the car together. Whatever it is they did, that is gone. Wow. Reading my emails this morning, seeing how many folks mention that they lost their dad early. Smoke them if you got them. Love them if you have them. I mean, my goodness. If you are lucky enough that you still have your dad in your life, no matter what your age, count your blessings every single day. Ramon, I'm having some internet trouble, so if you have sent me a call list, I don't have it. Just let me know who to go to next. Travis, you're on the Michael Berry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I got a dad story.
Great. That's what we're looking for.
All right. It was about a year ago during the height of the pandemic, whatever you want to call it. And me and my fiance decided we wanted to take all the kids. We got five kids between the two of us. We wanted to go camp and wanted to go float the river. And they've never been. So why not, right? Let's get out of the house. Well, they don't know how to pop a tent. My stepkids, you know, they don't. I guess their dad never taught them. So we got to learn how to pop a tent. Well, I took them outside and taught them, and they thought that was really crazy and interesting. Well, while we're out here, I taught them how to forage. I taught myself how to forage for different things that you can pick out of the ground to eat, and they just thought that was really amazing. Anytime we're outside, they're like, oh, look, you can eat that. Oh, you can have that. And I just thought that was really great.
You know, it's the Trace Adkins song, she thinks we're just fishing. These moments like that is so much bigger than the fact that now if they're ever in trouble, they'd be able to forage for food. Not that that's nothing, but it's that you've taught them something and that they learned that from you. And the bond that develops from that is incredibly powerful, just incredibly powerful.
I agree.
And good on you. You know, stepdads, more kids are raised in whole or in part by stepdads in this country than I suspect would be obvious, you know, at first thought. We think of the traditional nuclear family. But in many cases, it just doesn't, for whatever reason, work out that way. And stepdads can fill the gap. It can be a good relationship. It can be a bad relationship. It can be fantastic. It can go terrible. But when you only put the interest of the child first, then does it matter that they have another dad, that that's their primary loyalty, that you weren't the biological father, that you weren't there for X number of years? I see these situations where men marry women, or women marry men. I've seen it go both ways. And they resent the child. That if you love somebody, you love their children. And there's no distinction. There can be no separation. You can't love that person and not want to do what is best for their child and be whatever their child needs you to be if you love that person. Now, if you're just really attracted to that person and they got the baggage, as you see it, of a child, and you don't like their ex because you're jealous or that person's a bad person, and so you take it out on the kids, that's all too often, all too common, and sad, and it's tragic. It's really tragic for that child. Who we got next, Ramon? Grant, you're on the Michael Berry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Michael. I'd like to talk about a person I think you've known, and person I care deeply about as a kind of a second father. His name was Coach Ed Pivato, and I think you knew him from Orangefield.
I did, very well.
And, you know, I have a father, a great father. He's still with me. He's a home builder. I grew up with him. He taught me so many lessons growing up, you know, working with him in East Texas. And Coach Pivato, you know, he came to our school in 1990.
And were you at Cold Springs?
Yes, sir. The area okay. I grew up. Unfortunately, there were, you know, quite a few kids without fathers at home, or if they had fathers at home, they were probably working two or three jobs, you know, to make ends meet. There's just not a lot of industry in that area. And I can't tell you what a blessing it was and a godsend for Coach Pivato to come to that area. And you knew Coach Pivato, just a heart of gold. You could say he was an iron fist in a velvet glove.
Yeah, but that's exactly right. Grant, I'm up against a break, but I knew that whole family. His son, Billy, was my year in school. And then there, and I know all of his other boys, Jeff, Gary Burt, who passed a couple years ago, Bradley Dale, who played at SMU and ended up coaching. He's still coaching in college football at the highest ranks. Good family, good people, good values. Father figure, maybe not a father to a lot of young men, but a father figure to many.
Down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile when he says to me, how's my child? I said that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll call this man father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color him love.
Color him love.
Said I'm gonna color him. Without his son, life ain't very sweet. I love this man, and I don't know why.
713-212-5874. 713-212-5874. And, of course, the Black Line, 713-212-4740. And on the Black Line is RJ. You're up, sir. Go ahead.
Michael, I think something that us as men need to teach our children is how to be resilient. Life comes at us fast sometimes. Some of us will lose our fathers at a younger age. Heartbreak comes. Job loss comes. Sickness comes. Heartache comes. There's going to be a lot of things that come towards our children. But if we could teach them how to be resilient, if we could teach them how to weather those storms, how to be strong in the face of adversity, I think it builds so much for their character, that they know not to have that woe is me or that victim mentality. It's like, yes, this is happening. This is what I'm going through at this current point in time. But if I stay strong, I persevere, I push through, that I'll be better on the other side. And I'll learn from, whether if it's self-inflicted or if it's something that was caused by, you know, an unforeseen nature, it gives them the ability just to keep on moving, to be stronger, to it just makes healthier children. And that's what we need. We need children that are. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
No. It's so true, and it's so hard because, you know, I think my dad was harder as a parent than I am, and I'm sure his dad was harder as a parent than he was, and on and on and on, and I think you dilute. You dilute the manliness of being a father. I don't mean a father that doesn't tell their children they love them or can't give them a hug, but sometimes, and this has been something I've had to learn, sometimes when your child falls down, you got to let them get back up on their own. And sometimes when they do wrong, you got to, other than, rather than saying it's okay, you got to tell them they did wrong. And that creates a very awkward moment. It's an unpleasant moment in the here and now that you're building for a better future, because the easy thing to do is to not confront it. You know, you're driving along. I give you an example. So when my boys have friends over, sometimes your well-behaved kids, when they have their buddies over, can get a little exuberant, and they can start doing things in the back of the truck that you don't, you know, they're being loud or being ridiculous or doing this or saying that. And you have to confront it right then, but you don't want to, because you don't want to be that dad who scolds his kid in front of their friends. But, and there's a time and place for everything, but if you never do that, you never correct that behavior. And you see kids who are never corrected, and they don't, it doesn't end well.
That's right. That's right. I mean, the word says that when tribulations come, as in they are coming, you know, it continues to read that children seek discipline. You know, when I get onto my children, I have a 13-year-old son, RJ the fourth, my baby girl Avery, and when I get onto them, you know, they're kind of, you know, the wounded puppy for a little while, but then they come around me. My son's old enough to know, it's like, you know, Dad, I did this, or, you know, this is how I was acting, and, you know, they don't shy away from me. They want that discipline. They want that guidance. So I just think as men, if we could show that, you know, this is what you're going to experience, or this is the reason why I've gotten on to you, they'll learn from that. They'll know, you know, they know that line. Okay, this is what I'm able to do. This is what I'm not able to do. You know, I tell my wife all the time, when we're out somewhere and you have to correct a child or correct our children, that's something that you didn't instill in them before we got out. You know, we have to make sure we put these baselines with our children that they understand, hey, this is the way we act. This is how we, you know, we treat one another. This is how we treat the people around us. So there's no outburst when we're somewhere, or, you know, and then we're not embarrassed, and then we don't have to embarrass them. Because as a parent, as a father, I don't care who's around, in-laws, friends, if my child is being unruly, I correct that situation there. If they feel a certain way about that, well, next time we're out, that's in the back of their head. Okay, last time I was acting this way, that got on to me. I don't want to feel, you know, all eyes on me. So it like you said, it adjusts that behavior. So, you know, for all those fathers out there that are continuing to love their children and to embrace them, you know, teach them what you know, teach them guidance and discipline, but also teach them how to be resilient.
RJ, if I'd known we were going to have church, I would have assembled a choir.
Well, brother, you know, we can get into the church.
Thanks for the call, my man. All right, let's go to, let me see here, Ramon. Who you got lined up for me? Let's go to Michael. Michael, you're on the Michael Berry Show.
Yeah, you know, I'm on.
Yeah, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, you know, the thing I remember most about my dad, he's my stepdad. His name was Charlie Brown, the original Charlie Brown, World War II veteran, and hard work. He was a laborer, worked at his brother's plumbing business, and I remember going out to work with him and digging ditches and taking pride, and that ditch is straight, it's graded, it's done neatly, and everything he did, was you going to do a job, son, you do it right. So you can stand back, look at that job, and say, that's a well-done job. You know, you don't want anybody saying, who the hell done that? You know, and you have to hang your head and walk away or something. No, it's like, you know, you stand up, hey, yeah, I did that, you know, and then, well, hey, you know, it's a good job. And I wound up being a plumber. He was a laborer. I mean, and it, just a rock of a man. I mean, his hands were like a concrete block. So calloused were they. He worked so hard all his life, man.
Michael, thank you for the call, and thank you for sharing that. That's a beautiful tribute, brother. This morning after my workout, I had an hour before the show started, and I cleaned out the garage of the house that we're staying in, took everything out, brought it back in, dusted everything down. I didn't choose to do that. That is what my dad did. Orderliness, cleanliness is next to godliness. Orderliness is the opposite of chaos. Chaos is evil. Orderliness gives you sanity. I didn't choose to do that. That is the values that are ingrained in me. I didn't at some point come to a conclusion. That is my dad in me. Everything they're doing, everything we're doing as dads, they're watching and becoming, whether we realize it or not.